Good morning, everyone. Today is August 6th, 2024. It's 10 a.m. There's a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Item number two on today's agenda is to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to my favorite item. Item number three, which is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we are on to item number four, which is public comment. Public comment is welcomed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will also be welcomed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? For those that are on Zoom, I ask that you use your raise your hand feature. The chat is also available. And for folks calling in, I believe it's star six to unmute yourself and star nine to raise your hand. I'm sorry? Oh, come on up, please. If you're in the courtroom, just come on up. And if there's more than one person, you're welcome to create a line here on the bench. As a reminder, please state your name for the record before you begin speaking.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Michelle Buckman, a citizen, small business owner in this town, and a loyal supporter to this town. I'd like to address the county commissioners, elected officials, county leaders, citizens, merchants, and all other attendees. I came here today to respectfully address the intolerable incident that occurred in Virginia City to kick off the hot August nights on Friday, August 2nd. It's been publicized, so I know you all know what I'm referring to. Here's a problem that I see that must be seriously addressed. BC's past is strong. We have fun telling the stories about the Savage West. I personally belong to two reenactment groups, and I make every effort to tell the truth and accurately explain the history when I'm taking guests from my small businesses around town. I personally have pride in sharing the history, the good, the bad, the ugly. But concerning the incident that occurred last Friday, I now see that others either don't know, don't care, or see no reason to understand or apply the wrongs that have occurred in our county's past, historically, that constitutional, federal constitution, no amendments, and the end resulting laws were enacted to remedy. I'm more than happy to share that there are five freedoms in the First Amendment. Freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom to assemble, freedom to petition the government, and freedom of religion. The public can determine which of these can be applied to the alleged racists in this town. And I note that it is their right to be ignorant, insulting, bigoted, and rude, but it also is my constitutional right to object and voice opposition concerning their action. It affects me, has affected me, and I have evidence of that, and my friends who come to this town and experience VC. Statements disavowing their actions are a positive thing, and I thank those of you who have done that, but I believe that some action is required. The town's motto is step back in time. The reenactment group I belong to has the motto, stewards of the past, ambassadors to the future. So let's envision the future if we as leaders, citizens, and merchants don't publicly call out and change what has happened through words and mottos. Is it right that we intimidate a visitor to this town? If you haven't seen the TikTok video, watch it. I've seen and interacted with this man in the video, who is the alleged victim, at the Smith's grocery store in Dayton. He asked me to sign his petition, and I did. He logically and articulately explained what it was. He was clearly hurt based on the vision, this video, and was absolutely flabbergasted that not one person.
I'm extremely apologetic. Is there somebody else that can finish up your statement for you? Be all right with that?
No. Can I submit it in a letter?
I would greatly appreciate that. I apologize for the three-minute time. I'm very sorry. Please publish it and give it to the clerk for public record so it'll be noted in the minutes.
Thank you.
Again, I'm very sorry. Is there any other public comment today? Come on up. You're not a rookie.
I'm not a rookie.
You know how this goes.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Absolutely.
My name is Alexia Sober. I represent a lot of things in our community. Today, I would like to just speak as a citizen. And I'm up here today to point to something very specific. First of all, I want to support what Michelle just said. I agree with her. Beyond that, I see that our state elected officials, our governor, our senators, and other people who have a great amount of strength and power behind them and an ability to really sway people's thoughts are, and I'm just going to speak freely here, speaking out of turn about this community. The actions of one man should not and do not represent the entire community of Virginia City. And it's unfortunate that for all of our parts, myself included, we are somehow allowing this messaging to continue and to grow. And their actions, maybe unintentionally, are showing a sort of condemnation for this entire community and not for a single man and his bad choices, his inexcusable choices. So I am here today to ask the county and the other county agencies to help the citizens of this community and the business owners of this community to work together with us to find the right message to share, to speak to our elected officials at the state level and explain to them that they shouldn't speak out of turn until they know all of the facts, and to help us repair the image and the damage that has been caused by these unexcusable actions. I would like to offer my help in whatever way that may or may not be, and I'm sure a lot of my fellow citizens would agree. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment in the courtroom or on Zoom today? I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to speak here. There's nothing up there, Jim, right? Still can't see for some reason. All right. Thank you to everybody that decided to speak up this morning. Appreciate it. We're going to move on to item number 5 today, which is discussion for possible action. This is consideration and possible approval of the agenda for August 6, 2024 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions or comments. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I'm good with the agenda. Thank you.
All right. County Manager Osborne, are there any changes to today's agenda?
There are a couple, Mr. Chairman. Number one, we would like to continue per the request of the fire chief, items number 24. And then, of course, that would cause a continuance of item number 23. Both of those are fire district convening, as well as the respective item in the fire district agenda. The second thing I've been asked to do is to request that item number 33, this is the Kroger settlement matter, be moved up earlier in the agenda so the presenter, Stacey York, can be present during this. I will make a note that she is in the process of meeting Mr. Kruger to see if he'll be available at that time. There's a little bit of coordinating going on there. If that does happen, it'll be fine. There is a possibility of asking that item to be bumped in, back down the agenda. So number one, to continue number 24 to August 20, 2024 County Commission meeting here at the courthouse and on Zoom, and that's a fire district item. That's what number 23 is. And then the second one would be to move number 33 right immediately to after number 16 on the agenda. That would be make it number 17.
All right.
Actually, let me take that back. It would make it number 18. Sorry about that.
If it's in between 16 and 17?
No, it will be after number 17. It'll become the new 18.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. I move to approve today's agenda with those noted changes. And just for the record, I will repeat them one more time. Continue item 24 till August 20th at 10 a.m. here in the courtroom and on Zoom, which removes item 23 from needing to be part of this agenda, and then also moving item 33 up after item number 17.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 6, which is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about the consent agenda?
None, sir. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 7. Today is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. I want to kick things off with the Sheriff's Office.
Morning, Commissioners. Sheriff Cullen for the record. Just a couple things. National night out tonight in Lockwood. It's 5 o'clock to about 8 o'clock. Come down and hang out with the cops and everybody and have a good time. And then next week on Tuesday of next week, Sheriff's Night Out up here in Virginia City. And I am available right now for any questions or comments or anything you guys might have for me.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Sheriff?
No questions or comments. Thank you, Sheriff.
Vice Chairman?
No, me neither. Thank you.
Appreciate the update.
Okay.
Thank you. Moving right along to the Fire District. All right. How about Public Works?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Project Manager. In for Director Wiersbicki, he has no staff report today.
Wonderful. How about Operations and Coordinator, Projects Coordinator updates?
Yes, it's, title's going to be changing apparently here next month. So I'm trying to get used to it.
Yep, you guys keep me on my toes.
Mike Northen, Project Manager for the record. A few items to update the board with. 800 South C Street, the Bullion Building. Paving is now completed. The exterior lighting is underway. Also here at the courthouse, you'll see the guys here putting those lights up. Masts and globes have been installed. Wires being pulled right now. We should have operational lights within the next couple of days. We are working on a striping plan for 800 South C that maximizes parking for the tenants and the expected maximum of public traffic while maintaining a pathway for emergency vehicles around the building. All the stakeholders are going to be consulted before we start any striping. Item two, we recently had a town hall in Lockwood last Thursday to discuss the upcoming construction activities for the Lockwood Senior Center project. The purpose of this meeting was to introduce the contractors and lay out our vision for how the project is going to unfold. We discussed several aspects of the project with the community, including potential traffic impacts, student pedestrian traffic near the project area, site fencing, hours of operation, many, many more. We gathered community input and concerns, and we plan to stay engaged and being proactive in addressing those concerns. The community was generally excited about the project, and we had a good discussion. And item three is I just continue to work on multiple other projects and contracts that are in various stages of development that I'll be bringing before the board in the next several weeks. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you for that update, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for Mike?
No questions. Thank you, Mike.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update.
Thank you, sir.
Moving right along to our business development director, Laura Mather. All right. How about our planning department?
Good morning, Kathy Canfield for the record. So we got a surprise recognition from FEMA that we wanted to share with you for our participation in the National Flood Insurance Program and the Community Rating System Program. The wording says, this community has undertaken a series of meaningful activities to protect its citizens from losses caused by flooding and has significantly exceeded the requirements for NFIP participation and effective floodplain management. So just wanted to share that with everybody. We'll find a place downstairs in the hall to put it up so we'll be able to see it.
Wonderful. So, great news, Kathy. Yeah,
thanks.
Commissioner Gilman, comments or questions?
Congratulations to all.
Indeed. Vice Chairman?
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Moving right along to emergency management. Thank you, Adam. Moving on to the VCTC.
Good morning. Todd Tuttle, Director of Tourism, for the record. Note that our normal mix and mingle that would be on the second Tuesday of every month will not be held at Piper's this year. We're in support of the Sheriff's Night Out down at Miners Park. So we encourage the merchants to come down and intermix and mingle down there as we work out with the Sheriff's Night Out and get some information out on that happening. Considering the events and things that have happened recently, we are trying to organize a merchant roundtable or get together. More information will be coming out in regards to that. So if the merchants would just stay alert, we'll get more information to you. Also, the VCTC board meeting will be held on Thursday the 8th at 10 o'clock here in the courthouse. Keep in mind, there's a number of media that will be in town looking for information for interviews. My office is open and available for any contact with them to be able to help out or address any situations that arise. We also have quite a number of tour groups arriving over the next couple of weeks. So look for quite a number of motor coaches that will be coming into town. Should be a great time for those as they experience Virginia City. A little review of Hot August Nights on Friday and Saturday. First on Friday, we had over 300 cars in participation. And Saturday came very close to that 400 number as such. Of course, we had a great little rainstorm that pushed most people from the street into the merchants. And the merchants seemed to have a wonderful time with a lot of exposure for that part. So occasionally you get a little rain that brings some silver lining here in our great location. On the motorcycle roundup, we'll come up on August 23rd and 24th. There'll be a dance and gathering here at Piper's Opera House on Friday the 23rd at 7 o'clock. And of course, the rodeo at the Fairgrounds Arena at 10 o'clock in the morning on the 24th. That's Saturday. It is open to the public. So anybody that would like to come down to attend and participate, a lot of fun with the rodeo and all the activities that go with it. Scheduled is the Art Walk on the Comstock for August 24th and 25th. We'll have more information to follow in relationship to that particular event. And the camel races, September 6th through the 8th, we are approaching a sold-out situation for most of those shows. The Friday, the one on September 6th at 5 o'clock, is referred to as a locals night, and we have $10 tickets at the visitor center. Stop by to pick them up. You got people coming into town. It's a great chance to be able to see the camel races and what's going on. Saturdays, 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock shows are just about sold out. We have general admission and a few standing room onlys on it. But look forward to the camel hump parade in between the two shows. So right at about 12 o'clock, we should bring up a couple of the camels. They'd be willing. Sometimes they're a little ornery. And we'll be on C Street to visit a few saloons of their own as we walk up and down the C Street for the public's enjoyment. Sunday, another show at 12 o'clock. So there will be three shuttles running between the fairgrounds and C Street and the parking locations. So we should be able to have plenty of movement to get people around to and from where they need to go. That is my report. Any questions?
Thank you, Todd. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Todd?
No questions. Thank you, Todd.
Vice Chairman?
Todd, I have just one. You mentioned during the motorcycle roundup event, the rodeo. I just wanted to clarify, that's not a traditional rodeo, is it?
It is a traditional rodeo. They do have some bulls that they bring in. There is some roping that goes on. There is a little blend in with the motorcycle aspect. So a lot of fun, a little, pardon the pun, a little different kick to the whole thing. But it's a lot of fun.
Very good. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Todd. Moving right along to the comptroller's office. Thank you, Jennifer. Do we have the assessor with us today?
Yes, we do. Good morning. Janice Seddon, Story County Assessor, for the record. This morning, I just want to briefly speak on, we have a lot of corrections coming through for property tax cap corrections. I'm asking everybody to be patient. It seems like every year this should be getting better, but this is the worst year yet in regards to people turning them in late. Also, we have a ton of exemptions that are being turned in late. So I basically just want to ask everyone to be patient while we get these things processed. Also, please make sure that you make your first installment on time as scheduled. because at that point, if you're just holding on, waiting for this credit to come through, you will be hit with late fees. So go ahead and make that first installment. And when the correction comes through, it will take that in consideration and it will redivide everything up for your next three payments. I also want to say that we are trying to discuss this as a legislative group with the assessors for the upcoming legislation. I don't want to get into the weeds of it yet, because as we all know, this is just the beginning and everything's going to change. But just please know that we are trying to do something and address this so that this is not an every year sort of thing for us. Other than that, again, just be patient with us while we get these processed. And that's all I have for you guys today.
Thank you for that update. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jana?
No questions. Thank you, Jana.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you again. Mm-hmm. How about the Recorder's Office? Thank you. How about our IT department?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just one quick update. The fiber project between Senior Center, Community Chest, the pool, and the Miners Park gazebo is completed. The cameras are in on the gazebo. We have decommissioned an old DSL line at the pool and replaced that with the high-speed internet. So a couple of upgrades over on that side of the county. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for James?
I do not. Thank you, James.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update, James. How about from our Human Resources Department? Right. How about Community Development?
Morning, Commissioners. Pete Renault, Director of Community Development, for the record. Like to tell you that we are now self-sufficient in our plans. We've jettisoned the third party and we're taking plans in our own system. I want to thank Krista and Ashley for spearheading that and getting that off the ground and getting procedures and policies written that all the companies can abide by and have agreed to use. Again, we will take over the counter plans. So locals, residents, those small sheds, projects you have like that, that's not a problem. We've taken that stuff over the counter for years now, and we're going to continue doing that. We can scan everything in if people bring paper drawings. I think we're going to end up being faster with our plan review with this. We're not waiting a week for uploads now. So that's all I've got for today.
Great report, Pete. Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Pete?
I do not. Thank you very much, Pete.
Vice Chairman?
Thank you.
All right. Moving right along to our Health and Community Services Director, Stacy. Thank you. We have the judge with us today. All right. How about the District Attorney's Office?
Good morning, Commissioners. Brian Brown, Deputy District Attorney. I do not have any update for you this morning.
Thank you, Brian. How about the County Manager's Office?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne, for the record. Just want to let folks know our next coming town hall to discuss the master plan update will be this Thursday, August 8th in the Highlands at 5:30. Looking forward to people attending that. And we're very appreciative for the Mark Twain community showing up in large numbers last 2 weeks ago to discuss Mark Twain master plan items. It was a very productive and really nice, engaging meeting. So thank you, Mark Twain. That's all.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Austin?
I do not. Thank you, Austin.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. How about the Clerk Treasurer's Office?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, Jim Hindle, Clerk and Treasurer for Story County. Just a couple things to make you aware of. First, that we are going live. We are turning on the new voter registration election management system this week and into next week. There will be a lot of testing, further testing, and we do plan on having another mock election at which I invite the commissioners to come in and participate so that you can get a feeling for this new system. It's a big challenge. We have been going through many, many meetings of many hours with the Secretary of State's office and the contractors, working out bugs and kinks. And as you can expect in a software project besides, it has been very challenging and time consuming. Secondly, another system implementation that is going successfully, and lots of congratulations and kudos to Alicia Duke. We have a jury trial coming up in a couple of weeks, and we have implemented and we are using our new jury management system that has been approved by the commissioners last year. Thank you for that. Alicia has done a great job in bringing that online, and we have been getting good responses from potential jurors and aligning them, scheduling them, exempting people who have legitimate excuses. And I just want you to know that Alicia has taken on a lot. There's a lot of stress right now. Jury trials are a big deal, especially since we can't do them on site. The jury trial will be take place in Carson City, and that's an added complexity. And she's working through that with the normal load that is going on within our district court, and our district court is very busy. We've seen a significant increase in the number of cases that are being handled, and of course, all the paperwork related with that. And then finally, just as our assessor, Ms. Seddon, talked about, tax payments are due on the third week of August, Monday the 21st, I believe that is. Don't take me on that, but that will be very busy within the office. That coincides with the trial that's going on, so resources will be a little tight. We ask for patience. People bear with us as we're able to process your tax payments. But as Ms. Seddon said, if there are corrections you anticipate to be coming through based on exemptions and tax cap changes, please pay your first installment, and then it will roll through and we will adjust the other three. But we don't want you to get penalties, and we don't want it to be such that anybody is surprised when all of a sudden, if they delay payment, that there's extra payments that are due on the account. Because the management of those tax changes does not exempt anybody from paying on time. And we are here to help. Give us a call at the clerk's office if there are any questions.
Thank you for that update, Jim. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments for Jim?
I do not. Thank you, Jim.
Ms. Sherman?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else on staff that I missed on calling today that has an update for us? Not seeing any. Are there any nonprofits that would like to give an update today? All right. That concludes our staff reports for the day. We're going to move on to our next item, which is board comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for us today, sir?
I have nothing new for today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Appreciate it. Vice Chairman?
I have no individual comment. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have a few comments today. First being, for those that are new, I try to recognize any residents that have passed away. Unfortunately, over the last 2 weeks, we've lost two residents. The first one being Charlotte Halterman from Lockwood, a longtime resident. I believe she was there when the park started. She has passed away. And William Immers from the Virginia City Highlands, also a longtime resident. If we can have a moment of silence for those folks, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for that. I do have one other statement today. We are all aware of the incident this weekend revolving racist comments that occurred between several individuals in town. The subjects involved are not staff, volunteers, or otherwise associated with the Story County or Virginia City tourism governments. We find the exhibited behavior abhorrent and inexcusable. Virginia City is an incredible historic town with vibrant events and a welcoming atmosphere. The behaviors exhibited by a few individuals are not reflective of our community and our values. We proudly celebrate the diversity in Virginia City as it now stands and as it was historically founded. Historic Virginia City was built by people of all races, religions, ethnicities, and backgrounds. And the events we hold here today reflect upon the celebrate that heritage. We are also supportive of the Story County Sheriff's Office investigation into this matter and its ongoing endeavor to ensure the safety of our citizens, visitors, and businesses. Our local business owners, residents, and community leaders will also continue working together to maintain Virginia City's family-friendly and welcoming environment for all individuals. Thank you. That concludes commissioner comments. That's going to bring us to item number nine on today's agenda, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Board of Health. And I'll even hand over the official croquet mallet should things get out of line.
Ready.
So,
my name is Dr. Scott Shepherd. I am the chair of the Board of Health, and we're going to be coming into compliance by having the board meetings probably every quarter. All right, so we will call this meeting to order. And any public comments? No public comments. Anybody online, on Zoom? Don't see any. Okay, we're moving on to item 11, which is discussion only. And what we're going to do is present what is the Board of Health, who are the members of the Board of Health, and what we're going to do for the community. And Stacey York is going to give this presentation.
Perfect. Thank you, Dr. Shepherd. Stacey York, Director of Health and Community Services. So Board of Health, and what it is. So the Board of Health is governed by NRS 439. It is to establish necessary rules and regulations for the prevention, suppression, and control of any contagious or infectious diseases. Who they are? They're the gentlemen in front of you. We have the County Health Officer, Dr. Shepherd, County Commissioners, and Sheriff Cullen. A little history, so next time you're playing Jeopardy, you'll know something you didn't know. In colonial America, we were threatened by an epidemic disease. The only response was to record birth and death data. By 1799, Boston, my homeland, formed the first Board of Health. This was formed, and the first chair was no other than Paul Revere. You know, the British are coming. Okay. The main focus is public health. Prioritizing the health of the local population is the number one priority. This isn't about being a health department, but a link for health improvement. So in this meeting, expect to see presentations and data on health-related matters, such as seasonal respiratory updates and plans and studies around that. A prime example would be, God forbid we ever have it, another COVID. This meeting will occur the second month of every quarter unless a special meeting is needed. The dates are on there so that you can stick them in your calendar. And again, if a COVID-like event happened, we would hold a special meeting. And that is it. I just wanted to give a quick overview. That is my information. If you're looking to see anything special on it, please reach out to me and we'll get the information. That is it. If you have any questions.
Questions?
No.
Thank you, questions. Okay. And I think for item 12. All right, we have another one. Yes, item 12. So we're just going to have a quick update as far as what we have from Quad Counties.
So again, Stacey York, Director of Health and Community Services. Story County participates in a Quad County Healthcare Coalition. That consists of Douglas, Lyons, Story, and Carson. Myself and Adam Wilson, the Director of Emergency Management, we're on the leadership team for that coalition, along with two other representatives from the other counties. So they put out weekly updates. When we get into flu season, I'll provide you more of those numbers. But for now, they provided the Nevada hospital sector status, which is green, meaning the hospital systems are in great condition. On July 19th, there was a CrowdStrike release of a defective software update that crashed more than 8.5 million Windows devices. The estimated direct loss from that update was $5.4 billion. Luckily, no health data was stolen. We have been feeling the heat wave, and there's been several heat watches and warnings in place. We ask that you guys plan ahead, identify where cool places are in the community, such as libraries, senior or community centers, and stay hydrated. The healthcare workforce has also seen a decline over the years. Starting in the fall, John Hopkins Medical School will be offering free tuition with income guidelines. This program is funded by a $1 billion grant from Mike Bloomberg. And due to a shortage of raw materials to make plastic bottles, hospitals are seeing a shortage of culture vials. This could last into the next year. And we do have flu shot clinics already planned for the community. Our first one will be on October 2nd from 2 to 4 during the Community Resource Fair here at Piper's Opera House. The second one will be October 11th from 10 a.m. to noon at Mark Twain Community Center. And we're still working out the dates for the other communities, but those are soon to come. And that is all I have for the Quad County update.
Any questions? Okay. So just a little bit about myself, just so that y'all, I've not really introduced myself to anybody here. I am Dr. Shepherd. I am a practicing emergency physician for 21 years down at Renown Medical Center. I'm also the medical director for the fire district up here. And I'm also a 26-year veteran for Air Force, currently serving as a disaster manager for the West Coast. So just some of those things of my accolades so that I can do that later. Okay. I suppose we're going to move on to item three and recess to convene a Story County Board of County Commissioners. Any other questions, comments?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Pleasure.
All right, just to reiterate, we're at item number 13. This is to recess, reconvene as Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 14, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 24-741, designated Derek Dreiling as a pro tem judge in Nevada to serve as a hearing officer for appeals of decisions made by authorized inspector pursuant to Story County Code 8.01. Nuisances regarding abatements of nuisances and other properly related matters. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you. Mr. Commissioner, is Austin Osborne for the record. Earlier last month, Story County Code 8.01 was updated by this board addressing nuisances and related matters. And really what a nuisance is a matter dealing with dangerous structures, litter, garbage, abandoned junk vehicles, noxious weeds, things like that. It's not focused on building and construction so much. And what that code says is that an authorized inspector is designated for whatever issue is being addressed. And that would be the building official or the fire marshal or the public works director, respective to whatever nuisance is being addressed. When a decision is made by one of these individuals, there is in the ordinance a method by which the person may contest or appeal a decision made by the authorized inspector. And the code states that a hearing officer is designated by the Board of County Commissioners. It may designate somebody as a hearing officer that is a justice court pro tem or a municipal court pro tem. That's the background they must have. And there may be one or more of these people. And if there are more than one, then they would alternate case by case. And this is done by resolution. And the resolution for the court must also have compensation for what this person is. So working with our group here, a resolution 24-741 was prepared. We are recommending, based on the resume that you have included in the packet, that Derek Dreiling is appointed per resolution to serve as one of our hearing officers pursuant to this element of the code. The $100 an hour that is recommended, that's embedded in the resolution, is based on a compensation study that was done, a similar position throughout the state, and this is taking about the average, and it's pretty systematic to what we do with our other positions. I do want to note that Mr. Dreiling is with us here today on Zoom, and he'd be happy to answer any questions before this decision is made. And then ultimately, if a decision is made to move forward, I would like an opportunity to read the title of the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Dreiling, did you have anything to add? There are no questions for you at this time. All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
I am. Should we read the title before or after the motion?
You pick. Go for it.
I'll go ahead and make the motion and then I invite you to read the title if that's okay.
Okay, works. I'd be happy to.
High Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 24-741, designating Derek Drayling as a pro tem judge in Nevada to serve as a hearing officer for appeals of decisions made by the authorized inspector pursuant to Story County Code 8.01 nuisances.
All right, and per this board, I'll read the title.
Yes.
Into the record. Resolution number 24-741, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of Story County, Nevada, designating a pro tem judge in Nevada to serve as a hearing officer for appeals of decisions made by the authorized inspector pursuant to Story County Code 8.01 regarding the abatement of nuisances.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 15, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 24-742, designating John Springate as a pro tem judge in Nevada to serve as a hearing officer for appeals or of decisions made by the authorized inspector pursuant to Story County Code 8.01, nuisances regarding abatements of nuisances and other property related matters. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. For the sake of the record, I'm going to be repetitive on the statement here. In July earlier this year, the Story County Code 801 or 8.01 was modified by this board and approved. And in that ordinance deals with nuisances or dangerous structures, litters, garbage, abandoned junk cars, noxious weeds, matters like that. They're not really matters dealing with building and construction. The authorized inspector is designated in the county code as the building official, the fire marshal, or the public works director, respective to what the nuisance being addressed is. And in the ordinance, the owner of in which a decision is made may contest the decision or appeal it to the authorized decision or the inspector to a hearing officer. And the code states that a hearing officer is designated by this county commissioners, by the board. That board may designate more than one hearing officer. And as such, there is an alternating condition that happens in that. And that hearing officer must be a justice clerk pro tem or a municipal court pro tem. Compensation is set in there as well. And we have determined a compensation to be based on a comp study that was done of other similar positions across the state and taking the average of it, which is similar to how we handle things in human resources with other positions. This would all be done by resolution. Accordingly, we present in front of you a draft resolution number 24-742. This would be to appoint a second hearing officer to the list of hearing officers of Story County for this purpose under the code. And this person, based on the resume that you see in the packet and qualifications, we recommend John Springate to be the second hearing officer pursuant to this resolution. I would like an opportunity to read the resolution title into the record. And for the record, also, we are recommending this to be $100 an hour of the time actually spent during these cases. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Austin, would you care to read the title?
Absolutely. This is resolution number 24-741. It's a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of Story County, Nevada, designating a pro tem judge in Nevada to serve as a hearing officer for appeals of decisions made by the authorized inspector pursuant to Story County Code 8.01 regarding abatement of nuisances.
Thank you. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 24-742, designating John Springate as a pro tem judge in Nevada to serve as a hearing officer for appeals of decisions made by the authorized inspector pursuant to Story County Code 8.01 nuisances.
We'll second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. On to item number 16, this is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval, consideration and possible action to approve resolution 24-743 to lease a portion of 800 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, to Divide Fitness LLC for a monthly rental of $1,500 per month until July 31st, 2026. Comptroller McCain, you going to handle this? Oh, gotcha. Brian.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, Brian Brown, deputy district attorney. If you will recall, commissioners, this matter regarding the Divide Fitness lease was heard at the last meeting, both in a public hearing session and then on the actual lease presented. At that time, the commission voted to direct staff to prepare that a required resolution pursuant to NRS 244.2833, because it was the commission's desire to lease the property to the tenant for less than fair market value. We are back here today on that same issue, and we are presenting the resolution pursuant to the direction of the commission to lease the property below the fair market value. And the specific—
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, the specific is that lease, just I should probably put that in there as well. As directed by the commission at the last meeting, was that the amount of the lease would be no more than $1,500 per month total. And that was given to, that's what's also contained in the lease and in the resolution. I'd be happy to answer any questions from any of the commissioners.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
Well, I want to thank staff for the resolution and the expedited manner in putting this together. I appreciate the efforts here. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman, any questions, comments?
I don't have any questions. I don't agree with the resolution, but it is the will of the board to do it. So I'm happy to make the motion, even though I'll be voting against it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Is there any public comment? Oh, you're good.
Alexia Sober for the record. My comment's very simple. I would just like to ask the chair and this commission to, in the future, when we're coming to decisions like this, especially regarding the taxpayers' money and how it's being used, and specifically in funding or helping in any way a for-profit business in the community, before we make motions, I would request that you ask for public comment one more time. That's my statement. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
And
yes, Brian.
I just have one point of clarification. Prior to the execution, the actual execution of the resolution, it was brought to our attention that there is, in the resolution, Divide Fitness is referred to as an LLC. It's actually an INC, an incorporated business. That's how it is listed in the lease. We have that correct, but there will be a modification to correctly identify the business organization as Divide Fitness INC before execution.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Just to touch on Alexia's statement, there was a two-hour deliberation at our last meeting, I believe, regarding this item. Plenty of public comment there.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yeah, please.
Just as a point of clarification, and I don't want to speak for Alexia, but I think that maybe what she's referring to is the motion that we ended up with was fairly different from what was agendized. And at the point where that motion was made, it was passed fairly quickly without public comment at that point. And so I think that's where the sensitivity lies. Certainly, I don't think there's any implication that there was not public interaction, public comment, opportunity for people to speak. I think there, maybe that's the differentiation between what she was mentioning.
Fair enough. Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 24-743 to lease a portion of 800 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, to Divide Fitness, Inc. for a monthly rental of $1,500 per month until July 31st, 2026.
Second the motion.
right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
All right, let it be noted that there's two in favor and one against. On to item number 17, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action to approve the lease for a portion of 800 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, to Divide Fitness, Inc. for a monthly rental of $1,500 until July 31st, 2026.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Brian Brown.
Good morning, Commissioners. Once again, Brian Brown for the record. In following up with the resolution, we now present to you the lease agreement that codifies the terms that were contained in the direction from the board as well as in the resolution. I would be happy to answer any questions from any of the board members.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you, Brian.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any comments. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
I am, but I actually do have just one question. The copy of the lease is here on the table in front of us. Often that means that there's a change or something. I just wanted to clarify if there was some change to the wording or something from what was presented in the packet.
I'm unaware of any changes that occurred in the lease since the packet, Commissioner. I know the original packet, it contained the red line versions from the previous lease, so you could compare those to what was being presented to you today. I don't know if you've been presented a clean copy without what occurred in the prior lease, but I'm not aware of any additional changes.
Thank you. It's my mistake. What's in front of us is a copy of the resolution that's showing that change to Inc. instead of LLC. My apologies. All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve. Sorry, still on the resolution. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the lease for a portion of 800 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, to Divide Fitness, Inc. for a monthly rental of $1,500 per month until July 31st, 2026.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Stacy, are we prepared to move on with item number 33? All right. So we're, as discussed, item number 33 is now item number 18. Discussion for possible action, consideration for approval of a release of liability presented by the state of Nevada to Story County in order to be able to participate in the National Kroger Settlement Agreement dated March 22nd, 2024. Deputy DA Brown? Are you handling this? Mr. Kruger, are you handling this?
I can, and I'd be happy to do that. Mark Kruger, Chief Deputy Attorney General, Bureau of Consumer Protection, for the record. Thank you for having me here today and for this agenda item. Let me preface my introduction of this title by just thanking the board again on behalf of the state of Nevada and all of the other counties in this state and the litigating cities and the opioid litigation for coming together, creating the One Nevada Agreement on allocation of opioid recoveries. That agreement, we believe, and I believe everybody that's party to the agreement believes that it's adequately, fairly, and equitably allocates the recoveries through this agreement. What we're asking you to do today is no different than any of the other release of claims documents that you've had to approve in order to receive these recoveries. It simply means that you agree to give up any opioid-related claims that you might have against Kroger in this particular case. And that in so doing, it will be consistent with what all of the counties are doing, and most of them have done now through their respective boards and county commissions. And we would ask that the board go ahead and approve this one particular one. There will be some additional ones in the future, and it may be something that the board wants to consider as a future agenda item. I know it's not on today, but that might be designating a specific person like the county manager or the chairman to sign off on future release of claims, since they're all pretty much the same. And the other last thing that's related to this item is that the Department of Health and Human Services, with the, in conjunction with the Attorney General's office, is creating a dashboard that will allow anybody, the public or any one of your members, to go on and see exactly which counties have received what amount of funds. But more importantly, eventually we'll have the county data, but it will also have the state's data on what these funds are being used for. As I've said many, many times, one of the wonderful things about the use of the funds is that they are not going into, they're restricted to actually being used for services and programs to fight addiction. In my conversations with Stacey York, it sounds to me like she, on behalf of Story County, has a lot of great ideas on how to use these funds to help the residents of Story County. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. And thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Krueger. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Are you prepared to make a motion, Vice Chairman?
I believe so. I have it. Thank you. I'm just pondering on that comment about potentially designating someone, but that's not part of this action item. That's potentially something for the future.
Yeah, that. Mr. Chairman, I think the question is, I think would be something I can answer. I can assure you and Mr. Krueger that these items that are to come in the future, if they're to come to my desk, I can expedite into this county commission for decisions so that there's no delay caused by the state.
Very good. Thank you. So I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the release of liability presented by the state of Nevada to Story County in order to be able to participate in the National Kroger Settlement Agreement dated March 22nd, 2024.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to our regularly scheduled number 18, discussion for possible action. For consideration and possible approval, Licensing Board second reading general business license, Pope Technologies, LLC, 5661 South Cameron Road, Las Vegas, Nevada. I believe Sheriff's Office has taken this.
Yeah, I guess Frank stepped out.
Yeah. Should we signal to him? He's right there.
He's got some paperwork.
Waiting on you, Detective Valdez. No pressure.
Hold this place for just a moment.
Thank you. I've already read the motion or the title.
Good morning, sirs.
Morning.
Deputy Frank Valdez, for the record. After conducting an extensive background investigation on the applicant, Edward Ferriance, for the business for a liquor license here in Story County for the business of champagne and chocolate, I found...
We're actually Pope Technologies.
Pope Technologies. Oh, yeah,
sorry.
My apologies on that. I've looked into their business license here in Nevada, and I did find it in good standing. I was not able to find any negative information on the company. I have no further unless there are any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
Deputy Valdez, I'm sorry to hit you with this. I'm just curious if they plan to have some sort of a physical location here in the county, or they're just coming to do business in the county?
They are just going to be operating.
It's all right.
We got you off track. Apologies for that.
It appears that they're just going to be operating, working on businesses within the county under contract. No physical location within the county.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of the general business license for Pope Technologies LLC, located at 5661 South Cameron Road in Las Vegas, Nevada, 89118.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 19, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to direct staff to proceed with the steps necessary to create a commercial property assessed clean energy program in Story County. Laura Mather.
Thank you, Laura Mather, for the record. Commercial Property Assessed Clean Energy, otherwise known as CPACE, is designed to help property owners of qualifying commercial or industrial real property access long-term private sector financing for the installation of qualified improvement projects. CPACE financing is provided by private qualified capital providers in an open market. CPACE investments are secured by an assessment and assessment lien placed on the qualifying commercial or industrial real property on which the qualified improvement projects are developed through a voluntary assessment agreement executed by the county and the property owners of record. Upon recording of the notice of assessment and assessment lien to which the assessment agreement is attached, the assessment and assessment lien is prior and superior to all liens, claims, encumbrances, and titles other than the liens of assessment and general taxes assessed to the tract pursuant to provisions of NRS 361.450 and is senior to all other previously recorded senior liens of a lender, provided a written lender consent is executed by the applicable lender and recorded, and shall run with the title to the tract and shall not be extinguished by the sale of any property on account of the non-payment of general taxes. CPACE offers, subject to approval by qualified capital provider, a financing amount for a qualified improvement project, used to improve, retrofit an existing structure up to 25% of the fair market value of the property assessed, and B, used to improve a new structure or in a gut rehab up to 35% of the fair market value of property assessed, in each case as determined by an appraiser pursuant to the set guidelines. Repayment is secured by the assessment and assessment lien, which is recorded against the tract through a notice of assessment and assessment lien and billed by the qualified capital provider. That is the end of my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Laura Mather?
What's staff's position on it, Laura?
Staff's position.
I'm fairly neutral on this. I do have a couple concerns on it. My concern is that the company is aware of the long-term loan. So, for example, the point of this is that most commercial loans are for a very short amount of time, 5 to 8 years. With this loan, it can go up to 25 years. But I think it's important that an applicant realize that that extends the amount that's going to be paid, both through the interest rate and fees or anything else that's placed on that loan. So there are parts of this loan that I would just want to make sure the business thoroughly understands what that means.
I understand. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman, any questions?
Laura, do you see potential conflict with a senior lien of assessment being made senior to other forms of financing? Do you think that may cause some either trouble with qualifying for other forms of financing or conflict with other lenders that might be financing other portions of the project?
I don't see that because the other lenders simply don't have to agree. So I have spoken to cities and counties in Nevada, Oregon, Colorado. And what they have found is although they were highly encouraged to pass this in their community, they found that a lot of businesses could not qualify for it because no other lenders were going to give up that right to be in the back of the line if payments were not made.
Gotcha. Thank you. You know, one of the proponents of this particular program mentioned that one of its uses would be for nonprofits like a Boys and Girls Club or something like that. Are you at all familiar if that's an applicability to a program like this?
I did find it. I couldn't find a whole lot. I did find a mention of nonprofits applying for it. I didn't find a lot of information on it. One of the reasons why I believe I didn't find a lot of information is although in some areas this program is up to 10 years old because they don't have a lot of applicants, whether it's, those other lenders not wanting to give up their place in line, or they don't have a project that fits. I felt that I didn't have a whole lot to go on when it comes to that.
Very good. Thank you. And so there are potentially other jurisdictions in Nevada that have passed this, have any actually had projects that have gone through?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Helen. You're not. You need to mute your phone.
Sorry.
John Martini with the City of Sparks was very helpful for me as I was going through my research and had questions. They've had this project for over a year and they have not had an applicant yet.
Okay. Thank you. I think one of my concerns for my fellow commissioners is layering complexity into our environment with business is something that gives me pause right now, especially considering that we recently had a company that stacked all sorts of creative financing and things on and shut their doors. And it seems like that makes things a bit complex, but I'd be interested to hear what public comment there is and other comments. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Is there any public comment?
Yes.
Okay. So, sir, you're in the courtroom. I'd ask you to come up. I'll give you first shot. And then the folks on Zoom, please use the raise your hand feature.
My name is Randy Soule. I am a principal of a company called New Rise Renewables. We are a sustainable renewable energy developer in your Trick Park. We are a candidate for this type of loan. We are the ones that have brought it to Story County. It is adopted by the state of Nevada and other counties within the state. And really all we're saying is that because we are a candidate, we are sophisticated people in what we're doing. These are very, very significant type loans. We understand all the consents. The lead lenders in these type of things are banks such as the Greater Nevada Credit Union. Excuse me, I got a cold going. And these are also backed by the United States government. They do consent to these type of things. They are going to become very demanding through other counties if they haven't already. There is some examples in Nevada, especially in the solar fields. Because we are a candidate, we're bringing it to you. We do think it's a loan program that we can benefit from. We do think that your park that you have out there, there's going to be more people coming in that are going to also want to benefit from. So all I'm doing is promoting it, that we are a candidate, and we would like to see you guys approve it.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to go with Brian McCarter first on Zoom.
Yes, Brian. Yep. Brian McCarter, CEO of Sustainable Real Estate Solutions. And our company is the CPACE, third-party CPACE program administrator for this program in 9 Nevada jurisdictions, as well as providing that service in a number of other states. In response to the question about other projects, there have been, in those 9 jurisdictions, there's been 5 CPACE projects financed to date with a amount finance value of approximately $40 million. And principally, although the comments relative to the complexity, in today's market of high interest rates and attracting developer projects to the county, one of the areas that would be a benefit to the county is to allow folks like Mr. Sewell and his project in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Park. And we've had 3 or 4 inquiries to date about the possibility of Story County adopting this program that are located in that industrial park. It provides a means for a developer who otherwise would have to go out and raise equity, which in today's market is 1, difficult to do, 2, expensive capital to raise and may not make the project economically viable. It allows those types of developers to tap this form of financing to advance projects that otherwise may not be able to get to the finish line. Of course, that will have the benefit for the county of attracting these projects and the related job creation aspects that they bring to the local economy. Moreover, on the concern of the county labor that may be involved, all those 9 jurisdictions have engaged a third-party program administrator that generally limits the county's involvement to, on a one-time basis up front, to adopt a resolution to stand up the program in the county. We have worked with all of those 9 city or county attorney offices to develop a template form. County Manager Osborne, I know, has that document as of a couple months back. And then on, as Laura was speaking to, when a project is financed, the county would have a role in helping to facilitate the assessment lien to be recorded on the parcel of property. And that is the general role of the county in the program, the ongoing billing and collection or the service.
Mr. Brian McCarter?
Yes.
My apologies. We have a 3-minute time limit on public comment.
Sure.
Sorry about that. Next in line is Mr. Yaki.
Thank you very much, Mr. County Commissioners. My name is Michael Yaki. I'm with Petros Pace Finance. We are the nation's largest originator of CPACE financing. I actually worked with Senator Brooks on drafting the legislation in 2021. And as Mr. McCarter has said, it's been adopted in numerous jurisdictions, including nearby in Washoe County. I just want to say from a business perspective, we have looked at a number of projects in Story. This was before the legislation was amended. This legislation, by the way, is done in a way to minimize the amount of activity and burden on local governments. It contains strict provisions against any financial liability on the part of a county in enacting the program. And it is a little, and I'm just going to say, it is a little complex. It's complex because we have to deal with the complexity. These are arm's length negotiations that we deal with business owners. They have their lawyers. We have our lawyers. This is a financial transaction as with any other. It can be complicated. But what's not complicated is the county's ability to enact it and to administer it. It's fairly simple. People like Brian McCarter's company have done this in a number of jurisdictions in Nevada. But all I can say is that we hope that you will move forward with this. And as someone who has helped write the statute and helped actually write the programs in a number of different jurisdictions in Nevada. I would be more than happy to be a resource, as I have been, to jurisdictions across the country to help your staff understand and deal with this in a way that makes it easy to adopt. But I can say this, there is interest in Story County. There are a number of different projects in the industrial park area and beyond that people are interested in. We would really appreciate you going forward with this. And I thank you for your time. And as someone who used to be a county commissioner of my own in California, I appreciate all the good work that you're doing and your attention to this. I appreciate your questions. I'd be glad to answer any of them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record. I just want to kind of build on what Laura had talked about earlier. Laura had put in months, hundreds of hours of research into this work that she's done. I'm very proud of that. Very quantitative research she's done and looking at numbers and examples and the ordinances that exist and all the policies, as well as meeting with area leaders and companies and working with others. It's quite impressive. And we know that a project like this will create a load on our organization one way or another. And, you know, we're looking at right now the cost versus the benefit of the program. We're, you know, extraordinary efforts that we put into making economic development endeavors for our companies out of the industrial park in Virginia City and otherwise in the county. And I think this has been a little bit challenging on this one, is I think what Laura's bringing to you is with her research is a neutral recommendation to you to say, you know, there may be some merits to this, but we're having a hard time in the local area finding examples of where this is really being heavily used. If this board does decide to go in favor of this, we'll make it happen. We'll figure it out. But there will be, you know, a cost to the county in this as far as the overall load on the organization, but we'll work it out. Laura, is there anything to pretty much say in line with what you find to be appropriate, the research that you've done on this?
Yes, I just want to add one thing, and I appreciate the comments about the concern of the workload and stuff. And, you know, I appreciate that. I'm not concerned about that. I just want, my concern is that if the county were to proceed with this, that that our resolution really lines out the cons along with the pros. I think with any program that has, you know, some really passionate backing, there's a lot of pros that are out there. But again, I just think having a clear understanding of the whole picture will be very important if we proceed with this.
All right. Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I just have one question. If we make the recommended A motion here, does that create the program, or does that instruct you to bring it back to us for final approval? Let's know where we are in that process.
So if you do approve this, then I would create a resolution and then bring that to you at the next commissioners meeting. The resolution would then create. There would be two resolutions. There'd be a resolution creating the program, and there would be a resolution designating the area that that program is in.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Please.
Mitchell, I'm cautious in my approach on this, not having a thorough understanding of the pros and or the cons that it brings. I'm concerned about our contingent liabilities that we may or may not be aware of. And I guess my question is, has this been thoroughly reviewed by our legal department there in the county? Have we looked at, from a legal perspective, what we might be approving and what our, I understand, and I've listened to parties suggest that it's a limited exposure, but I'm cautious in moving forward without a thorough understanding of what those contingent liabilities might look like.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there any other comment from the board?
You know, I find myself kind of at the same place. And I guess my question for Mr. Sile would be, if we take 2 weeks on this, does that put you over a barrel? If we wait till our next meeting to gather some more information, or are you up against deadlines that that's going to make you really difficult?
I need you to come up to the podium, please.
Before he comes up, I'm happy to answer any questions that hopefully I can answer any questions that you guys that you just
are you prepared to answer that question
for the liability
about the what if that's going to hold him up?
Oh, that no.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Again, Randy Sule. No, we want you to vet it. We have a lot of people that can help with your district attorney or attorneys to better understand it and make sure that all commissioners that are here and on Zoom that they fully understand exactly what that is. And I do think once you understand that, you'll be much more comfortable in approving anything.
Appreciate it. Laura, I do have a question for you. To simplify this for everybody, my understanding is if we approve this, we are going to essentially draw a circle around a piece of land in the park, and forever it will be encumbered as this zone. Is that correct?
That I don't know if it's a permanent. I don't know if we can override that at a future date, but I think if the county does implement this program, we should make it much broader than the Tahoeano Industrial Center. And the reason why I say that is because it can also be used for commercial residential, meaning any commercial residential that has 5 units or more. So I do think it, you know, again, if we do proceed with this, I think it should be much broader than the industrial center.
Okay.
Can I ask a follow-up to that? That might help answer your question too.
Please.
Laura, is it... on this one, if the board were to continue or consider a resolution or consider putting the framework in place at the county level for this, does it kind of put in, it's allowable and enables the CPACE programs to happen countywide? And then when an applicant comes, says, I want to apply it to my particular parcel, there's like a district or something created that would apply to that particular parcel, but then it also may be another applicant and another applicant. Another, is that how it is, or is it structured differently?
It's no. So the second resolution would create that jurisdiction. So that means anybody within that jurisdiction can apply for it, but it doesn't create anything new or special as each applicant applies for it. It's just everybody within that jurisdiction can apply for it. I mean, obviously, if they qualify for all of this stuff.
And then there could be others if the board decided.
Yep.
All right.
So we can't. We can't just restrict it to one company or do it company by company. It needs to be a jurisdiction, and then it's everybody who qualifies for both the loan, the project, having the other lenders sign off. Everybody within that jurisdiction could do that.
What's one question we had, if you don't mind, Chairman? Unlike some other jurisdictions, Story County has a lot of abated companies under go-ahead across the state of Nevada, including, I believe, maybe the only one in the state that has a $3.5 billion program that has a whole bunch of structure associated with it, and also a $1 billion abated program. Do you think there's any need to continue looking at how CPACE may or may not interface with those sorts of companies, whether they currently exist or may in the future?
I don't, because those abatements are tied to the company. CPACE is tied to the property. So if a business is sold, the new owner of the property takes over that loan on that property. So it's tied to the property. And that's the big difference, I think, with this program is the loan is tied to the property. And that's why as soon as that is approved, the county will place a lien immediately on the property.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, questions at this point?
I don't know that I know enough about it to ask a good question, my friend. Thank you for the opportunity.
Fair enough. Vice Chairman, anything else?
Mr. Chairman, I'm leaning towards just a motion to continue, and then I appreciate the offers to help us understand. And I'm happy to dig in a bit deeper and do the work to understand so that we can make a better decision.
Fair enough. I will ask one more time if there's any public comment. All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to continue this item to our August 20th meeting here at the courthouse, 10 a.m. and on Zoom.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 20, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of a grant of easement file number 2024-041 to NV Energy for communication and electric facilities within the L Street right-of-way, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, to facilitate construction of a single-family residence. Kathy?
Yes, thank you. So this is an easement request from NV Energy. Our Public Works Department has reviewed this and doesn't have any concerns. This is just south of Washington Street on L Street, and it is to facilitate the construction of the adjacent property.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a grant of easement 2024-041 to NV Energy for communication and electric facilities within the L Street right-of-way, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, to facilitate construction of a single-family residence.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. On to item number 21, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval for the county manager to sign and approve the DOW 2024-25 contract for county GIS services in the amount of $78,000. This amount is divided and budgeted for 10 different task items. $37,200 of this budget is attributed to the assessor's office for mapping and monthly GIS updates. Assessor Seddon.
Good afternoon. Janice Seddon, Story County Assessor. This is our yearly contract with Dow. Formerly, it was Far West. Some people might recognize that name better than Dow. But this, again, is our yearly contract with Dow for GIS services. Again, like it stated, this is for 8 different departments. It would be the Commissioner's Office, the Recorder's Office, Community Development, Communications, Emergency Management, Planning, Public Works, and the Assessor's Office. All these items are split between all different tasks that need any GIS task that needs to be done for the county. There's also a budgeted, all these have been budgeted for the 24-25 tax year. I have confirmed with the Comptroller's Office that all these different departments have this amount budgeted for GIS that's on the contract. And again, like I stated, the vast large majority of this is for the assessor's office for the updates of all the changes that we have for mapping aerial images. Actually, the aerial images, Dowell inputs it, but the aerial images come through a different contract with pictometry. But so that's pretty much it, unless you have any questions on this contract.
Thank you, Jana. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I move. Sorry. I'm there. I'm just wondering what the contract says. It's moved to approve
the contract is for $78,000 total, if that helps.
Thank you. I move to approve the contract with Dowell for a total of $78,000 as outlined in the agenda.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 22, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible authorization for the county manager to sign and approve the addendum to the Pictometry International Contract signed 3/24/24 in the amount of $9,585 to be paid out to the assessor's tech fund for future view training. Is this Comptroller McCain or Assessor Seddon?
Assessor Seddon. Assessor Seddon again for the record. What this is an addendum to the contract that the actual aerial imagery contract that we already signed and approved back in March of 2024. What this basically is for, there's a lot of different things that this program can do for all of our different offices. And what these are being paid out of the tech fund that I get. Because I want to be able to invite some of our new elected officials and department heads to this training so that they can actually see and they will be able to interact with other jurisdictions outside of here. Some of them will be outside of Nevada, but a lot of them will other be jurisdictions in Nevada to see what this program can do for their counties. It's something that I have done in the past. Usually it's just myself and a staff member that goes, but I believe it was in 2014 or 15 that I took six other members of the county to this, and most of those members are gone with the exception of myself now. So I feel like this is something that I need to reach out and do once again to help broaden and to help all the other different departments. I have a program that I pay for that can be really helpful to a lot of other offices, and I really want them to be able to utilize this program to its fullest potential. So that's what this is for, additional, they call them seats to the training. So that's what this is for. And it would be actually in 2025, would fall of 2025 would be when this next future view training will happen.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
I do not. I have support of this initiative. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am prepared. Thank you. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve the addendum to the Pictometry International contract that was signed on 3/24/24 in the amount of $9,585 to be paid out to the Assessor Tech Fund for future new training.
I'll second the motion.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Item number 23 and 24 have been removed from today's agenda. On to item number 25 is to recess to convene as a Story County Highway Board. Bringing us to item number 26, which is discussion only, report of Public Works Department regarding roads and highways throughout Story County. Mike Northern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northern in for Director Wiersbicki. Lostown first lift paving for the week of July 22nd through July 26th consisted of 8,775 tons of asphalt and 385 truck loads. This week, the top layer of paving on Lostown has begun. Traffic is still going to be one way heading north. The road rehab 2025 is just starting the design phase with Dell. That I have no more.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thanks, Mike.
Vice Chairman?
Good. Thank you.
Appreciate the report, Mike.
Thank you.
On item number 27 is to recess to convene as the Story County Liquor Licensing Board. Bringing us to item number 28. Sheriff? Too much, right?
Good morning again.
Good morning.
After conducting an intensive investigation
on the application of Ed Relief Variance for a liquor license to operate in Champagne and Chocolate here in Virginia City. I found all input given by personal references to be positive. No financial, legal, or criminal issues were found. The subject has is operating four businesses, one in California, three in Nevada. Currently, all business licenses are in good standing. He also has a liquor license, which he holds in Washoe County, also in good standing. I have no further information unless there are any questions.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions, thank you.
Sheriff Cullen, any questions or comments?
Nothing.
All right, Vice Chairman?
Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the first reading for the on-sale liquor license. Applicant is Edward Lee Variance, Champagne and Chocolate, located at 5 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, Detective. Appreciate it. On to item number 29 is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 30, which is discussion for possible action to accept a proposal for completion of an environmental report to comply with USDA requirements for the Fire Station 71 project from Dowell and to authorize the county manager to sign the Dowell task order in an amount not to exceed $31,132.50. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northam, project manager. For the Fire Station 71 project, that's a USDA funded project. And as such, there's a environmental report required. On July 10, 2024, the deadline for submittals closed. Story County received three proposals to produce an environmental report that would be compliant with USDA requirements. Of the three proposals, one was deemed to be non-responsive as it did not contain any mention of the archaeological requirements. Another was similar in that there was no demonstration of NEPA compliance experience. The remaining proposal was responsive, included discussion of all required areas of the USDA environmental report, demonstrated experience with each of these areas, and expressed an ability to start work immediately. The submitting firm also has a track record of successful projects within the county. With a tight deadline from USDA for this environmental report in order to obligate the funds for this project, staff did place some emphasis on the ability to start immediately and the ability to complete the report within a very short time frame. So due to the above factors, staff is recommending acceptance of the proposal from Dowell for the completion of the environmental report in the amount of $31,132.50. Just as a note, authorization of this contract at today's meeting and a approximate four-week work period will mean a completion date of September 6th. Which will allow us time to get that submitted to USDA.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thanks, Mike.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. In accordance with staff recommendation, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to accept and approve the proposal for the completion of the environmental report for Fire Station 71 project from Dowell and to authorize the county manager to sign the Dowell task order in an amount not to exceed $31,132.50.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 31, this is discussion for possible action. Possible approval of Amendment 1 to Dowell Task Order 62. To provide construction phase support for the Fairgrounds Improvement Project, to include construction surveying, staking, and observation, project closeout, parcel consolidation survey, a map, as-built record drawings, contractor coordination and meetings, and general administration of the contract for construction. This amendment also includes bid support services, which were in the original task order, but moved to a current fiscal year. The task order amendment proposes the listed services for a total amount not to exceed $139,000 even. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northam, project manager. This amendment to this task order, the original task order for design complements the original task order by providing construction management services, addressing the parcel consolidation and zoning issues, and ensures oversight of quality of work and compliance with codes. We are currently at 100% on the plans. They have been submitted for permit. Bid documents stand at about 98%, so we are going to be ready to go to bid very shortly. This amendment provides for engineering support from the bid all the way through the closeout, and this is a huge aid to county staff in overseeing this project, documentation of the project, quality assurance, and coordination with scheduling the work around various events at the fairgrounds. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepare to make a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve Amendment 1 to Dowell Task Order 62 to provide the enumerated services for the Fairgrounds Improvement Project for an amount not to exceed $139,000.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike. Item number 32, discussion for possible action. Possible approval of a proposal from Paul Cavan Architect LLC for a site evaluation and project feasibility report for the Virginia City Highlands Community Center in an amount not to exceed $24,000, and to authorize the county manager to enter into an agreement with Paul Cavan Architect LLC for those services. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, project manager. This marks the beginning of phase two of the community center in the Highlands. Phase one was completed with the opening of the new fire apparatus storage building. It's open up the existing building for dedicated use as a meeting or community activity space in the Highlands. Proposed use of the existing metal building at Station 72 in the Highlands as a meeting room for HOA or county or community activities necessarily changes the occupancy of that building. So before we go running off and spending lots of money on design, we wanted to ensure that all codes were being addressed and complied with. So this assessment is an investigation into the existing conditions and with consideration of the proposed improvements that will help to create a comprehensive design scope that ensures integration of usability, accessibility, and life safety codes. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thanks, Mike.
County manager. Vice Chairman?
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I don't have any questions.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the proposal for Paul Cavan Architect LLC for a site evaluation and project feasibility report for the Virginia City Highlands Community Center in an amount not to exceed $24,000, and to authorize the county manager to enter into an agreement with Paul Cavan Architect LLC for these services.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
On to item number 34, consideration of possible approval authorizing the county manager to approve and sign a contract between Story County and Foley Public Affairs for lobbying and government affairs during the 2024 interim legislative period and 2025 general legislative session in the amount of $4,000 per month.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Austin Usburn for the record.
Well, did I just blow through? Oh, no, sorry. We got rid of item number 33. You're good.
Okay. What we have a proposal in front of you is to continue working with Foley Public Affairs on lobbying government-related services under contract. Hill and Foley is the lead of that with our team. The contract has expired at the end of last fiscal year, and we propose to bring it for another full year as we approach the next legislative session, and as we're also dealing with matters in the current interim session. But we do everything with lobbying and a team approach. And really all of our lobbyists that we have under contract, as well as those that are employed with the county, each have unique connections, background, and specialties that really enables our team to access both houses of the legislature and the state, the Democrats and the Republicans, as well as other leadership in the region. And it's a good model. Helen Foley and her team work on a wide range of lobbying matters dealing with Senate Bill 1 kind of stuff and abatements, attacks that might come on us for, you know, other bills in the legislature, as well as other things like water and land use, justice, court reform, all different kinds of things that we'll be experiencing in the next session. The contract you have in front of you is for a period of 12 months or until June 30th of 2025. It'd be at $4,000 a month. And I will note that Helen Foley is on Zoom with us today. If she has anything she'd like to add or any questions that you have for her. Thank you.
Thank you. Helen, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Hi, this is Helen. I just want to let you know how great it has been during the last year working with Story County. I like the approach that your county manager has proposed, where all of the lobbyists have their areas of expertise, but we all get together and work cooperatively on some of the big major issues. You always have to anticipate that some things will be coming up this next session that we don't like, that we want to get rid of. And so I look forward to working during the interim with the team and then being very aggressive during the session to make sure that we protect Story County.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
My comment would be that I just have great anticipation and so much respect for the opportunity to be working with Helen Foley and her team. They do absolutely incredible work in Carson City, and we'll certainly benefit with that relationship. Thank you, Ms. Helen.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I don't have any comments. I'm supportive of the action. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepare to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the county manager to approve and sign a contract between Story County and Foley Public Affairs for lobbying and government affairs during the 2024 interim legislative period and 2025 general legislative session in the amount of $4,000 per month.
I second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 35, this is discussion for possible action. Review draft, conduct workshop, and consider possible approval directing county staff and lobbyists to submit to the Nevada Legislative Council Bureau a draft legislative bill addressing a local jurisdiction's authority and ability to be noticed, comment on, participate in, negotiate terms of, and to determine the outcome of the Governor's Office of Economic Development applications involving $3.5 billion and $1 billion tax abatement categories under Senate Bill 1 from the 2014 session, and matters involving assessors' appraisals, taxation, and auditing of taxes for other state GOED tax abatement category applications and other properly related matters.
All right.
Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record, County Manager. Also, I want to introduce with us is Will Adler and Alex Tanchek from Silver State Government Relations. They're principal lobbyist folks working with us on this matter. In July, the Board of County Commissioners directed staff to look into drafting a rough draft bill for future consideration, something that would look like amending NRSs that are applicable to the Senate Bill 1, 2014 abatement packages for $3.5 billion abatements and $1 billion abatements for companies coming to Nevada, in particular in Story County. The NRSs that we focused on working together on this is 271B and 360. There are others that may also apply in here as well.
Thank you, Austin.
Absolutely. So what we have here in front of you is a draft. Is there anything I need to pause for?
Nope. I'm just looking to see who's here.
Okay, no worries. What we have in front of us is a draft that will look at simply doing an enabling of local jurisdictions, particularly counties and cities and fire districts across the state of Nevada, just not Story County, to be treated as stakeholders in the process by which these $3.5 billion abatement categories and $1.0 billion abatement categories are brought in to the state. And what that specifically means are things that the counties, the cities, and the fire districts are noticed. We're unaware that these applications are coming on board, that we're allowed to comment on them and be involved in the discussion process, that we participate in at the go-ahead board level and throughout the application process, and that we are able to not only negotiate the terms of a government services agreement, which we currently can, but that it is a mandatory negotiation with the company, not a discretionary, where the company is allowed to not have a government services agreement. And that we would also add the government services agreement negotiated contract to the $1 billion abatement category, which currently it is not required. The next thing is that the county, the city, or the fire district would be in this process to be able to help determine the outcome of this. If you were to get a very small county in the state, whether it's Story or Esmeralda or another county that is not able to handle a company, that county should be at the table and discussing throughout this entire process the concerns it has, providing fire, paramedic, EMS, sheriff, jail services, justice, roads, infrastructure, administration, the whole range of functions that a county and these districts have to provide that are responding to these companies and be taken seriously and be a stakeholder at the table. And then lastly, it would be also, and this is something that affect our assessor's office and our clerk's office, is that when that application is approved by the Governor's Office of Economic Development for those two categories, that it is not retroactive a year later or a year in the past, causing substantial difficulty in trying to figure out the taxation and all of that, that Jana's office is here to explain if necessary. So really what this does is create a balance between economic development and local responses. It is for all Nevada, not just for Story County. And it does not affect data center abatements, does not affect general off-the-shelf abatements, lead abatements, and other types of tax abatements. It would be those two categories only. So at this point, I want to introduce our two folks that are here with us. They've done a great job helping put the base document together that's in front of you. And we've been working together to try to iron it out as much. And they're also going to explain the process in the legislature, how this bill might go through the LCB. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Will Adler for the record, Principal of Silver State Government Relations. I just want to say it's a pleasure working with you guys, developing a second BDR. We came to the legislature in the 2023 session, actually had quite a bit of success in spite of the outcome with the bill. But I think we've taken much the same approach and much the same method. We identified an issue that Story County feels and wants to change at the Nevada state level. We have one opportunity to change that, and that is our own BDR or bill draft request. We've compiled that bill draft, and as Austin has gone through it, it is detailed and thorough enough that I think it touches every place you want it to touch, but it is not so prescriptive that it would be thrown out the door, as it were. But from here, we will be submitting it to the Legislative Council Bureau, LCB. LCB will take their turn at the draft and submit the draft back to us. We'll take that draft back to you guys and retain the comments you have, try and make sure that everything we want in that bill is still in that bill, and redraft it if need be. We'll resubmit it and have it ready prior to its introduction to the legislature, February 2025. From here, I'm very confident, though, that we will see great success in kind of our goals here. And that is, bringing up the issues that only Story County knows, because Story County's the county really doing the lead point on economic development here in Nevada. Thank you, guys, and it's a pleasure.
Appreciate it, Will. Anything else, Austin?
At this point, we have a draft in front of you. We posted it, and we welcome any comments or suggestions, all three of us. And at this point, if the board wants to move forward, then we'll do as Mr. Adler explained.
Wonderful. Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
Comment. I see this as very timely and of critical importance in the state of Nevada, and certainly to Story County at this point. The state and Story County is enjoying incredible success in entertaining these various companies, and especially the size and the quality that we're looking at. And having a seat at the table is critically important, in my opinion, at this point. And I'm delighted to see that we're moving forward. Thank you, Austin, and all parties involved.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman?
Yeah, I have just a couple of questions just to make sure I understand kind of what I read in the draft. I want to talk about just notification, because I think there are several different components to that. If I understand it correctly, I believe kind of the first layer is that we should be notified on receipt of an application by the Governor's Office of Economic Development. And then there's kind of a phase two, if you want to call it that, if I remember correctly, where 15 days out from any decision is what I would characterize as full disclosure, participation, engagement with GOED. And then the third kind of step to that is requesting the ability to participate in the decision making itself. And I guess one of the questions that I have about that is from a strategic perspective, do we anticipate resistance to asking for a seat at the table, so to speak? I'd ask my fellow commissioners, do we feel comfortable if we're notified when the thing starts in some capacity and then engaged fully and able to really be part of the process as it gets closer? Is a seat at the table? Certainly there are benefits to that, but I'm wondering if there's going to be some resistance to that ask.
Will Adler for the record again. I would say you can't anticipate any resistance for any language prior to its introduction, but knowing the things that we know now, it isn't a matter of will there be resistance or not. It's a matter of, is this clarifying something that other people don't understand or not? I think once we introduce this topic and sort of, have this understanding out there, other counties will actually want to support what we're bringing forward because they don't want to be in the same bind or pickle, that we ended up in as the only county that's received $1 billion or $3.5 billion abatements. I would say, though, that if you look at other similar gestures in the state, easements, power agreements, some road language, there's notification up front and center with counties. There's engagement at the beginning. They aren't just sort of told, hey, by the way, you need to approve this easement. We already talked around you and above you. It's not your issue anymore, right? No, other things that you see in the state have similar notification periods where the county is at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of the discussion. This should be much the same, I think. So I'm very confident in what we've written, and some discussion is always good discussion. So, yeah.
Very good. Thank you. One of my other questions had to do with kind of if a recipient is disqualified. I think there's an effort to clarify what their liability is on repayment of some of the benefits they've received. I believe that there was a need to clarify if it was just for 5 years or if the abatements went further, if after 5 years there was no longer any liability on them or recuperation. I'm wondering if a proposal for a stepped beyond the 5 years, maybe a percentage as opposed to 100%, would be kind of a soft way of making it clear that, hey, we don't want people to just pull up after 5 years and have a little bit of teeth in there, but not necessarily running it out, making a huge change in that regard. Thoughts about that?
Austin Osborne for the record, and I'll look to Will too, because he's got a lot of experience in kind of the factory here of how these things work. But we purposefully put the language in here to discuss what I believe you're talking about is a company that has got a 10-year abatement for property tax, for example. They fold in five, they're off the hook, it's over. Does the county have any ability to rake back or somehow recover that? Because the county will have put in substantial infrastructure to meet the needs of that company that's no longer there, and et cetera. So the language does address that. I'm going to look to Will and Alex on other ways that you are looking at to address that matter, that it may not necessarily just be in this one core document. Go ahead, Will.
Thank you, Austin. Will Adler for the record. Again, we did try and incorporate some of that language or some of that look forward language and or especially on these larger SB1 and SB3.5s. The county is going to have to, come to the table with infrastructure, hookups, everything else. You're 100% correct. Just because the current one has actually come to fruition and gone through the full 10 years doesn't mean that risk isn't out there. So we did try and address that. But it is language that we could look to strengthen up, especially once we get the draft back. Usually we need to modify it anyways, so we can make sure it's covered to your satisfaction, kind of there.
Perfect. Thank you. I had a question about, there's a section in NRS 360 that talks about the issuance of state bonds for infrastructure projects, and there were some caps on that. Is that something that's already maxed out, $175 million, or is that something that's still open, possible? And if so, does it make sense for us to provide some, ask for some more clarification on what qualifies, what doesn't? We've had some questions like that from some of our companies actually asking what those could be used for.
Thank you, Commissioner Austin Osborne. For the record, there's some part of that question that does warrant further research. When you start getting into bonds, there's some highlighting that you've seen in the text here that simply just highlighted. Some of that are kind of comments to ourselves as we're still working as a team on kind of ironing those things out. And as Will and Alex are informing me, the Legislative Council Bureau is going to help us navigate some of that territory. What I believe the direction from the board was on this, and we tried to keep that focus on, is being held as a stakeholder during the approval process of a go-ahead application for these two categories. So we tried to keep what's in front of us here very narrowly focused on that territory and not getting into tax bonds and getting into tax credits and employment. There's all kinds of other things that go on here. Just focusing mainly on really what it is affecting us is property tax and also sales tax.
Very good. I appreciate that. I appreciate that approach. Thank you. On the notification piece and kind of the worry about retroactivity, right? On the effective date piece, I saw language in there to kind of prohibit it from rolling back, if you will, to a previous fiscal year. Does it make sense to just lock that down, to request in the BDR to lock it down to a specific date, as in eligible when the project is approved, or when the abatement is approved, as opposed to right now? I think they're given kind of a range of when they can request it to start applying.
I think we did add a piece of clarifying language in there at the bottom that does say all abatement benefits are upon approval of the abatement now, sort of clarified that, you know, once your abatement goes live, it's there forward, not any mushy language about looking backwards or whatnot. But today and now, the statute is kind of open-ended on that. It is a little vague. So it is something we were trying to tighten up with the language. And as Austin discussed, we submit everything to the Legislative Council Bureau, even if it's in kind of idea form or not in full legal script, because they will give us a firm recommendation on how best to address our desire, even if we don't have the right legal tense ready.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Those are my questions.
Wonderful. Great questions, Vice Chairman Mitchell. Is there any public comment at this time regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
I am.
Okay.
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff and lobbyists to submit to the Nevada Legislative Council Bureau, or the LCB, draft legislative bill addressing the matters described at this meeting, including the items brought forth and directed hereby at this public workshop.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Will, Alex, appreciate both of your effort and time coming up.
Thank you.
It's yep. A
pleasure.
Look forward to making some headway this legislative season. Thank you, Austin. All right. We are at item number 36, which is discussion for possible action. For consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through S. Any commissioners have any questions regarding these second readings? Not seeing any. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 36 as A through S.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 37, which is the second and final time during this meeting that public comment will be called. Is there any public comment?
Okay.
I didn't want to hear from her today. Welcome, Hugh.
Mr. Chairman.
Members of the board, Hugh Gallagher, Story County resident. Vice Chairman Mitchell's no vote on agenda item 16 concerning the divide lease clearly demonstrates his disconnect with the stakeholders of this county in general, and specifically District 1. The original lease that was presented to you, presented this board at the last meeting, was nothing more than an attempt to discontinue the business. Thanks to you, Mr. Chairman, and to you, Chairman Gilman, or Commissioner Gilman, this attempt was adjusted to reflect the true meaning of the lease, of the original lease in 2009. Now, why there wasn't a resolution in 2009, I don't know when they were originally done. But if you take a look at the original lease hearing, you'll find that there was little or no discussion in opposition, which then begs the question why there would be any dissent today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Is there any other public comment today? All right, not seeing any. Item number 38 is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 12:07. I hope you all have a wonderful week. See you down in Lockwood for National Night Out. I almost said Hot Office.